Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Test line, he writes for Crescent City Sports. Les East, longtime writer, covers the NFL, college football prep scene. Les, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be with you.
Les, Charlie and I were talking about a bunch of different things with the cuts. One of the things that sort of sticks out to me is that what happens now? I think they got to make another maneuver, because if something happens to Eric McCoy here, Lucas Patrick, who basically they're penciled in as their starting left guard, he'd have to move to center, and then you got to get you another center. Now, I think they tried Shane Lemieux there, who I think's got some talent to play guard. Now, he's always sort of hurt, and one thing he couldn't do well, he couldn't snap the ball back to the quarterback well. It was he dribbled a couple of them, and then he almost threw a hook shot over the top of a couple of the quarterback's heads. I think that's an area, if waiver wire free agent, that they have to address, because, man, tackles and guards get hurt in this league a lot, more than any other spot. And the one thing this team doesn't need is something to happen to Eric McCoy. And you got to make two moves instead of one.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And Dennis Allen pretty much said that they're going to address that. Not speaking specifically about the backup center spot, but he said there's certainly going to be roster moves, possibly as soon as the next 24 to 48 hours, but certainly additional moves over the coming days before they get to the opener. And he did address offensive line specifically, because they only have 8 offensive linemen on the 53 right now. And he said when you factor in what the practice roster winds up looking like, you're going to have probably somewhere around a dozen offensive linemen in the mix. So as that shakes out, you're going to see that backup center position be addressed at some point. And I think there's probably going to be one or more other spots on the offensive line, because that's still the biggest question mark on this team. So there are going to be more changes to come, and I think the offensive line is going to be in the middle of it.
Les, the other thing, too, is at wide receiver, man, I'd bet you Dallas the Donuts, they'd only get 5. They go with 6 and Bub Means and Tipton. We saw Tipton in the OTAs. He was sort of the darling early on in California, where he was making play after play every day. We were having reports that, you know, he was making a couple of big plays in practice. Bub sort of had the part with the injuries, and he missed a lot of playing time. One thing with Bub, he got to learn how to block downfield. And, man, in this offense, you better be good at it. But they saw enough skill set in him. That's no way that this team goes into the season with 6 wide receivers. I think that's an area where they make it initially, but somebody goes on the practice squad.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the case. I would say that Tipton was probably one of the bigger surprises to me as far as making the 53, even though he did, you know, as you mentioned, have a lot of good moments in practice during training camp. But I think in both of those cases, they didn't want to expose either of those guys to the waiver wire, because they were feared somebody would claim one of them if they did release them, and that they think they both have the opportunity to develop into contributors. So I think that was sort of a risk reward type thing, and they decided they didn't want to risk losing those guys right now, because they think that both of them have a chance to pay off down the road. But I agree with you that I never would have projected 6 wide receivers on the 53.
Les, if I'd have told you the first OTAs we went to, hey, Les, Rico Payton's going to make this 53-man roster, you'd have said, there ain't no way. Because I thought early on he sort of struggled a little bit on maybe play recognition, especially when the ball was thrown over the top with him. I thought he played the ball well when it was thrown in front of him, but over the top he struggled. And he got better and better and better. And we saw in the game, in the preseason games, quarterbacks went after him, and man, he was like, come on, keep throwing it, and I'm going to keep knocking it down. I think of all the guys, that's the biggest surprise on this 53-man roster today, is Rico Payton making the team.
Yeah, that was a big surprise, but I would have a slightly different take on it in that you're right. If you had told me that on the first at the first OTA, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. But I think as of today, it wasn't that big a surprise because he had done so much in practice and the preseason games. I think a lot of us thought he had a good chance to make it. He wasn't a lock to make it, but we thought he had a good chance because he had developed so much. And Dennis Allen talked about how, you know, player development, he credited his staff for a lot of this. The way young players have developed during the course of training camp was a big factor in some of these decisions. And speaking of Peyton specifically, he mentioned that he played really well on special teams, and that's always a good thing for a young player to do if they're trying to overcome the odds and make the roster.
Okay, Les, has anybody got more stroke on this team other than Dennis Allen than Darren Rizzi? I mean, you think about it. I think if anybody coaching-wise has any stroke about players, it's him.
No question. You know, the Saints are one of those teams in the NFL that put a huge emphasis on special teams. I don't know why all 32 of them don't, because it's routinely proven how important it is. But some teams put a greater emphasis on it than others. The Saints clearly do. You know, Rizzi is the associate head coach. He interviewed for the head coaching job when Dennis Allen got the job. You know, he's a guy they think very highly of, and he and Phil Galliano, his assistant, have a really good track record with the special teams. So when it comes to these final cutdowns, I agree with you that certainly Darren Rizzi is a guy who has Dennis Allen's ear, and they're going to do everything they can to accommodate the special teams. And Allen said today he didn't think there was anybody who made the team exclusively because of their special teams ability, other than specialists, obviously. But that carries a lot of weight when they're putting all the factors together to make these decisions.
Les, Mike and I were talking in the first segment about the wide receiver room, and as we kind of mentioned earlier, we're still not 100% sure if they'll actually carry six wide receivers. I think Bum Means, to Mike at least, was a little bit more surprising than Mason Tipton making it in there. But at linebacker, six guys, and obviously Anfernee Orji had a great preseason. He was kind of expected to make the roster. DeMarco Jackson has been there, done that too. But Jalen Ford, a former draft pick from this past year for the Saints, making it too, despite dealing with a hamstring injury. What's kind of your thoughts on him making the roster?
Yeah, I would say that was probably a little bit of a surprise as well because of the injury. And, you know, Allen said that, you know, he had shown enough prior to being hurt that they felt comfortable giving him a spot, which speaks really well of Ford's contributions before the injury because, you know, he wasn't contributing in the games and had a shorter resume in the preseason than a lot of other people. And linebacker is an interesting spot because, you know, their depth there hasn't been the greatest in recent years. And I think, you know, Anfernee Orji had the really good game against the 49ers a couple of weeks ago, and he's a guy who's improved significantly. And then with Ford making it and six guys now, I think depth on linebacker, which is also an important special teams position, I think was definitely upgraded during the offseason, and we've seen that in the preseason.
Les, the running back spot, we know, you know, at this stage, Alvin Kamara's one. To be honest with you, I think I'd put Taysom Hill in the two spot and then Jamal Williams. The situation with Kendra Miller, man, you talk about disappointment. And he's that tie-in with Tajay Spears. Until both those guys retire from the league, they're always going to be compared to one another. I think this team goes outside the fray to look for a running back. Jordan Mims, I think you know what you got. He's a solid player. He catches the ball pretty well coming out the backfield. He's a good pass protector. He runs hard. But I think that they may try to look around to see if they can add to that running back spot in a position they really wanted Kendra Miller to have.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that running back is going to be one of the positions, along with offensive line, that they're going to target when they look at who's been released by other teams. I think you're probably right. Taysom Hill probably is the number one option after Alvin Kamara. And then after that, you know, there's just nobody there who you feel real confident in, whether it's Williams or Mims. And, you know, you can see and hear the frustration from Dennis Allen with Kendre Miller. You know, he's had injury problems in the past. It seems like they're dissatisfied with his work during the offseason in preparing his body for training camp. And first individual drill of camp, he gets hurt with the hamstring. And as Allen said, I haven't seen him since. So that is something I think is clearly frustrating to them, because he was going to be a big part of their plans this year, and now he's gone for at least the first four games. And, I think running back is definitely a spot where they're hoping to find somebody on the waiver wire that they can bring in and bolster the depth.
Les, I'll ask you about the tight end spot. I think we know what Foster Morrow can do. He's a really good inline blocker. Every once in a while you can hit him over the middle for a throw. This, to me, is a huge year for Juwan Johnson, because there's so much expectations about him, and he flashes it every once in a while. Then he gets hurt. Preseason is preseason, but this is offense is sort of made for him to catch that 47 to 52 passes a year in this offense, the way it's set up. That's an area where you're just okay. That's not a strength of his football team. Dallin Hoker has come in, made the team as an undrafted free agent, and he catches the ball well. Now, again, he's not going to give you a lot of – he tries as an inline blocker, but that's not his strength. Your thoughts on the tight end position, understanding the offenses that Kubiak has run in the past, and he's had, you know, a T.J. Hawkinson, and he's had Kittle out in San Francisco – man, that's a spot where if you can keep your quarterback upright, and that's a big if, tight end to me would be a spot where that guy's going to put up some decent numbers. I'm just not sure about that.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, tight ends have an opportunity to be really important in this passing game, in this system that Kubiak has installed. And Juwan Johnson's really the only guy who has a chance to take advantage of that this year. Maybe Hocker will develop into somebody who can do that. But, you know, Juwan Johnson, if he's healthy and continues to improve, could be the guy who thrives in this offense and elevates that group as a whole. But if he doesn't, if he gets hurt again and isn't a major factor week in and week out, then that position becomes a bit of a liability, because I think he's the only guy capable of taking advantage the way that this coaching staff would like to see the tight end position perform in this offense.
Les, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time, bud, and best of luck.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Les East, who long time has covered the New Orleans Saints college football, the prep scene for our Crescent City Sports. And I think we agree on a lot of things, Les and I, on a lot of things, on the way the rosters shape up. And, he agrees with us. Bobby's talked about it, Deuce, myself, you also, Charlie, that it's not set in stone, this roster, and you better do it with an eraser.
The word that keeps coming up
pencil
is
with
fluid.
An eraser.
Fluid, Mike. It is a very fluid roster. We'll see what they decide to do. But as Les mentioned, adding offensive line and running back obviously makes the most sense.
And you never know about what you don't know.
Yeah.
Tight end is another spot. I'm just inkling.
It's not, as you mentioned, Mike.
It's not a strength on this team.
I would go as far as saying it's one of the weaknesses on this team.
Charlie, I'd agree with you, because there's a lot of I don't knows.
I mean, you hope that Juwan Johnson can make a major leap and be a tight end one. You kind of hope that Foster Morrow can be a steady hand. You hope that Dallin Hoker.
Because I know he can block.
Yes.
I know he's a good pass protector, good inline blocker. Hoker, he flashed it, and then he gets hurt.
One of the four undrafted free agents.
Yeah.